You're listening to the Rogers Sporting Goods Podcast with Patrick Fisher,
Chandler Smith,
and Josh from Outdoor Limits.
In this podcast, we'll touch on everything from gear to ducks to deer, turkey and fishing, from field to table. Let's dive in.
You don't have notes from predictions on the Super Bowl, Pat, that we did before?
We were very close. I wonder if I wrote it down. You all know me, and I've got about 8 notepads. So, but we did take them. And not to toot my own horn, but I won this one, too.
You did.
I won the last one we did, too, on the deer.
What'd you guys do?
So we predicted the... It's not on this one, I'm sorry. The score of the game. For everybody listening, that watched our last episode, we predicted the score for the outcome of the game. We all predicted the Chiefs to win. No shocker there. But we were all fairly close. So it ended up being 24-22.
25, right?
Let me look it up.
Yeah, sorry, 25-22. And I predicted 24-21. So I was 1 point off on each.
And I can't remember if I was like 17.
And you were like,
17-27.
I think we were all within a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were all right there. Knew it was going to be close.
Yes. I wasn't thinking a blowout on that game. It was too wild.
Didn't Nick Wright say
blowout? Yeah, well, he always, and bless his heart, he's a Nick Wright, if anybody listens to him, is a huge, I mean, his hometown is Kansas City, so he's always going to take the Chiefs. And sometimes he has some crazy outtakes, but
so
congrats to the Chiefs and congrats to Kansas City. But yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough one. Oh, they're never easy once you get to that point. And the fourth quarter is never, you're just sitting there biting your nails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a pretty good show, pretty good game. It wasn't boring, I would say it was.
No, it was awesome. Patrick probably paced a mile watching the game, would be my guess.
Yeah, if I had a step count, I was so nervous.
I would say so, yes. It was definitely pretty close to a mile.
Obviously, the big, you know, the overtime rules, and everybody was kind of confused. And I don't know if Chandler, we said, even I was confused at the very end because the clock was running down 10, mm-hmm. 9. And I'm like,
I was too.
I didn't know that part. Yeah. I was like, well, if we don't snap, I didn't realize that it just kept going. So I was freaking out.
They replayed that section, that time, and Tony Romo was saying that, they don't have to worry about it. It's just like a first quarter. It's just going to, you know.
I wasn't listening.
And nobody heard that unless they put it in afterwards.
Right.
Because no one knew that. They were all yelling at the TV saying, like, timeout. But, hey, we did it without getting to zero anyways. It was like 5 seconds left or something.
So I kind of remember a little bit. I mean, I remember the play. But as soon as we won, I kind of blacked out, and I don't know how Steve felt the next few days after, because I just jumped on the first person I saw, and it happened to be him sitting down on the couch. And when I say I jumped on him, I was basically laying on top of Steve Rogers. So,
not me, my dad.
And then and then I was like, "What's going on?" He kind of pushed me off. He's like, "Gosh, get off me!" But it was crazy.
Jeez,
I was grabbing my daughter Stella, and we were trying to catch the fireworks because every time there was a score, she wanted to see the fireworks. So it was always a mad dash to get outside in time to see fireworks.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. And they're probably pretty good after that one.
It was. We did catch those because they kept going.
Yeah, but. For sure.
You're trying to time the scores, and then whether they'd go, because she would hear them. I want to go see the fireworks.
Yeah.
But heck of a game. So now we'll just wait till next year.
So, we haven't had a podcast out in a couple weeks. Me and Pat have been on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Super Bowl, we went next week, ran off to Nashville, Tennessee for the NWTF.
Yes.
Just shout out to everybody who was there. We met some podcast listeners there. Cruising through buying turkey gear, and
yeah,
it was a great week.
NWTF put out a deal, and so they put out a press release or whatever, and this year marked the biggest attendance record they've ever had. It was just over 76,000 attendees. I don't know if that counts vendors. I think that I'm guessing it's probably just people that
I think it's got
pay for tickets or I don't know.
Last it's got to count badges too for vendors.
Probably badges.
I don't know. I would assume
last year was their 50th, which broke the record, and it was like 67.
I think the vendors are just as they're just as much of the consumer as the attendees.
True. Yeah.
I mean, it felt like 50-50 at our booth, you know, if it's a vendor badge for a normal customer. Checking out at our booth, so.
Yeah. But we do appreciate everybody coming out there, and we had people from around here out there, people from around there that have been to the store, but.
Oh, yeah.
Or people, like Chandler said, I don't know where we were. We had a few times people came up, and they were wondering if the guys that were on the podcast were there, and. So it was cool to see everybody and chit chat and listen to turkey calls all day. So you all made it a success, though. Well, it was amazing. So, well, I guess we'll go back. We'll be there again. And then we have another show coming up, which we've talked about. We've got the Iowa Deer Classic, which I guess when this comes out,
that'll be over.
It'll be over. So I guess that doesn't.
So. But, yeah,
we'll be just getting back from that one. So all sorts of fun stuff going on.
And then it's fishing and turkey.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was wild yesterday here in Kansas City. If you're not from around here, it got up to almost 80, high 70s. And then a cold front came in. It dropped down to like single digit wind chills or somewhere around there.
I think got negative, actually. It's negative three is what it felt like this morning.
I know by the time we left work, it had already dropped like 30 degrees or 40 degrees.
Jeez.
It felt like. And then overnight it snowed a little bit. Now we're, going to be back up pushing 40 today, and then we'll be back up 70s by the weekend. So it's wild.
Yeah.
And that's why we all get sick in Missouri.
It was some pretty weird snow. Did you guys see it?
Yeah, it was like dipping dots.
It did look like dipping dots.
Yes.
Weird.
But we made it through. So it was exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All sorts of stuff. The everybody that had, if you listen, you attended our hummingbird seminar. That was awesome. Hopefully you got some good info on that. We did record it, so that'll be going up soon.
It's actually out now.
Oh, it's already posted. There you go. So if you want to learn some insights on hummingbird and Minn Kota and some, sonar strategies and all that fancy stuff, you can watch the recording of that seminar.
Yeah. Turned out pretty good.
It was awesome. And then,
it's about an hour and 45 minutes, though.
Yeah.
So it's,
oh, they were rocking. They got into it.
Yeah, it's so deep.
It was, yeah. And then... On top of that, we're in preparation for our April 6th fishing event, which will be our first big event of the year. So that'll be at the storefront location in Liberty. And we've got some exciting people coming, which all this info will have put out. But that'll be April 6th.
I mean, you confirmed
Wally. Know for sure Wally. Well, Wally Marshall, the old crappie king.
Yep.
You know? He's always fun to be around.
He is.
He'll talk to you. He'll be there doing a seminar. We're working on some other people. Well, obviously, we're always going to have sales.
And this is not necessarily like a stage and just talk seminar. There's a bass tank. That's what he's talking about, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Be live fish catching right out front.
Yeah.
And all the questions he can answer and all that stuff.
Sure. Bring your appetite. We'll have two food trucks this year. We'll try to get some giveaways and things like we usually do. I haven't got that set yet, but you can plan on something. We'll probably have a giveaway of some kind. So
or a couple.
Yeah, usually.
And we'll put a sale out, too, to try to include people that aren't local.
Yeah.
So we'll make sure that we put something out.
Try to correspond around that time so everybody can enjoy the baits and lures and all the fishing stuff we have to offer. And man, it's here. So morels, turkey, crappie, rocking and rolling.
So. Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Yes, I'm super excited.
Yeah, now that most hunting seasons are over,
yeah,
like waterfowl and deer, yeah, it's time for stuff to warm up.
It's like I'm ready. Yeah, we're just ready to switch and get moving on. The snow migration, Chandler, kind of, I don't know what's going on. It's been so warm, I feel like it just kind of flew by. A lot of guys are already heading farther north than maybe they would be.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I meant to call somebody today, and I haven't talked to anybody, but everything I heard, a lot of them were pretty, I mean, so in Missouri, on the Mount, you know, Mountain City, they're already north of Mountain City, so.
Yeah, that's just.
Pretty much up in Iowa.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just been kind of an above average year for temps, or at least it feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, which just makes you want it to just warm up and stay that way and move on.
Yeah, just get over
to spring. Yeah, instead of these one off winter blasts we had. So, yeah. But you tell everybody's coming in like they're getting their boats out and they're checking on their trolling motors and you know making sure their boat seats are still swiveling and. Getting new line put on reels and all that, so it's exciting. Yeah. Yeah. With that, obviously, if you're watching and if you're not, you've heard a different voice on here today. But obviously, Chandler's here. Patrick, we're keeping Josh at work, so yeah. he's working hard over there. Special guest. We haven't had a guest in a while, so we figured because this is our 100th episode, Chandler.
Yep.
Is that correct? Mm-hmm. So pretty big one, pretty big milestone, which we couldn't do it without all of you. We brought on Stevie Rogers, who is going to be with us today. So one of the co-owners of Rogers Sporting Goods. If anybody knows Steve Rogers, this would be his son. So, And we're going to have some fun. So.
I mean, if you don't know that Rogers is a family-owned business, it is still a family-ran business to today, and we're with Stevie Rogers here. We used to have a shirt that said, I know Roger, but...
Oh, man. That was back in the day.
That was back in the day.
Yeah, we've talked about bringing it back.
I mean, there's still people that come in the store today that will say, oh, I know Roger. He took good care of me. And they're talking about my dad. So they at least have the right person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just don't know his name isn't Roger. But that's okay.
It's probably some of the new associates that don't know that story yet are probably confused. Because when when customers are like, I know Roger, and they're like, I don't know Roger.
So yeah.
Who's Roger? That was a classic one. Gosh, how long ago were those?
That had been
that was before I started.
So. 2009, 8, 10, somewhere on there.
Yeah, it was.
Were they at the store before now?
No, it was probably right when we moved in. So we moved in 2008.
Yeah.
And it was probably just right after that would be my guess.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I started a few years after you guys were already established. I missed out on the move.
Yeah, at the stores.
Yeah. We've had a few moves since then.
Had a few moves.
In warehouses.
Yeah. So
it's been fun.
So family owned, which is awesome. And so if anybody doesn't know you, Steve Rogers, Stevie, who's here with us today. And then there's also Mandy and Shannon. If you shop at the store, you've probably seen Shannon before. So Mandy and Stevie work at our corporate headquarters warehouse location. Yeah, so, and now there's grandkids, and everybody's just like, have family still growing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people always ask why we don't have more retail stores. It was because my dad didn't have any more kids, so.
Yeah.
That's been the limitation. It. So maybe there's some opportunity now that we have some of the grandkids helping out, but.
Yeah, you got to have some more staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But we'll see. Yeah. That there's no talks in the near future of that. Right. But yeah, that was always the joke. There wasn't enough kids to go run a bunch of other stores.
Yeah. If we go way back, so like the obviously, you know, we talk a lot about Steve and even before that, so you're a grandfather,
Jim Rogers, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of the start of, like, the lure side. And just did he kind of just set the, like, how did that begin? Just we'll kind of touch a little bit on the pre-Roger Sporting Goods, like, you know, how yeah. that was.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that knows my grandpa, he was, definitely didn't care about making very much money. I know that he had a little shop in Lamar, and my dad always used to talk about how when he, you know, people would come in, he'd give away just as much as people would buy from him.
Okay.
Which is probably why we keep my dad out of the retail store as much as possible, because he probably has some of those same tendencies.
Yeah.
So he was, just the nicest guy. Hell, anybody that came through, he would, you know, show him what he was doing on lures. I mean, just loved fishing. Fishing. And so he was, fishing in the Bassmasters, like when it's getting started.
Okay.
And started his lure company. He had some of the first, he just did it as a hobby more than anything, but he had some of the first, like, spinner baits. He had some of the first ones that were made. He was making them. The spook he had, his was called something different. I think it was the hog stick.
The hog stick, yeah.
And his was one of the first ones out there. And then the Slim Jims and stuff like that, and the Big Jims.
Okay. Yeah.
Those were some of his most popular baits, and still pretty sought after. And they're all antiques now. He hasn't made lures in a long time. Yeah, obviously.
You can I like to go look up in Bassmaster's website. He's still got like his full track record on the tournament.
He still has
His first one was 72 Rebel Invitational.
Oh my gosh.
You know, Jackson, Mississippi. His winnings are $250.
So before
that's crazy how much that's changed.
Yeah. I always like to say he was in it before those guys really made any money.
Yeah.
Right.
Like this, 1972, I think that was the first one.
Yeah. And he holds some, like, interesting records. And he would, I feel like he had different techniques. He would, like, kind of off the wall. He would go fish for smallmouth when nobody else was. And he'd take in a whole stringer of smallmouth and go win a tournament. Which was kind of funny.
Oh man,
That's definitely not as common,
right?
So first place Bassmaster winner too in 77 New York Invitational.
I think that was the one I was talking about. I think he won that one with smallmouth.
With a smallmouth,
and
I might be wrong, but I felt like it was New York.
Yeah, 56 pounds total.
I feel like the New York, whatever plaque or trophy, because we still have a lot of his at the store, so we put them on display. It's wild to look back, and there is a New York one. I wonder if it's that one, but yeah, it's super cool. It's funny you talk about Jim. I can see it in Steve, and then it's just kind of passed down, like, just the family part of it. Like, Jim's kind of doing it as a hobby. Obviously, he knew a lot about fishing. It's like, hey, I'm gonna make some lures, and then you talk about just giving away as much as he's selling. I think he was it's just happiness that brings to him. It's like, oh, I'm sharing the same passion as the next person, and I'm glad you're here enjoying it with me. So,
yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And I know we talk about the bass side more. Obviously, that's what he was known for.
Yeah.
But he loved all kinds of fishing. He was, I remember, I don't even know why I had to do this or why he was doing this. I think it's for the Missouri Department of Conservation. They were making like a thing of flies, and I'm like 7 or 8 years old. And my dad said, "Hey, here's a bunch of flies. You need to go glue them to this board." And I was just like helping out, but it was a bunch of my grandpa's flies that he had tied. He spent hours and hours tying flies.
Oh, man.
So he loved fly fishing. I went fly fishing with him a couple times.
Okay.
And I remember him making like peacock bass lures. I mean, he loved all kinds of fishing.
Right.
So
yeah, it was just, and obviously that got passed on. Obviously Steve was watching, and it's like, okay. So then Steve turns, is like, hey, let's, I don't know, I guess it's like he takes that and is like, let's just keep it going.
Yeah. How old was your dad when he started selling lures at tournaments?
Was that
kind of where?
So what, one thing my dad did, so he's the oldest. He has two brothers and three sisters, I think. So I think there's six of them. And he, but he was the oldest, so he was helping out the most. So when my grandpa was in these tournaments, my dad would be, if it was like, say it was New York, my dad would be in charge of driving the boat to New York. He'd pre-fish a couple days. My grandpa would fly in. My dad would give him a report, and then he would fly back and go run the shop. And then while he fished, then
you gotta keep those doors open.
Correct. Uh-huh. So then he would. So my grandpa would fish, and then when it was over, he'd fly back, and my dad would fly back again, and drive the boat back. Usually, like, I don't know if that's what happened every time, but I do know that that was kind of fairly common practice. So
yeah, sure.
I want to, and he was doing that. He was probably 17 or 18, is what I would say.
Okay.
I mean, he wasn't. I think that's about when he started doing that.
Yeah.
So around 18.
So he was, yeah, he was in it. That was, and then it. Obviously, we know, like, and we see it on our t-shirts. So 1980 is kind of the start of, basically taking the Rogers World Championship lures, and like, hey, yeah, let's make a business.
Well,
store.
And so he was selling lures. He was selling lures to different dealers. I mean, in between, there's a lot that happened in between him helping with the tournaments and that the shop for my grandpa.
Yeah.
He would, he had a little convenience store in Branson for a while.
Okay.
And I remember him telling me about how him selling cigarettes and stuff like that, explaining that world to me, which was kind of funny. Which is obviously a lot, you know. This is
candy cigarettes, people.
Yeah. Well, this is in the this was in the 70s, so
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, smoking was a lot different. Different back then, for sure. Uh-huh. But I mean, and you would sell bait and stuff. But I remember him saying that when he was in Branson doing that, and he was selling lures and stuff too, that he felt like he wanted to get closer to a city. He felt like everybody had their stuff when they got down there going to Table Rock and stuff.
Right.
So he's like, I need to get to like a bigger population, was his like thought. Yeah. So then in 1980, he moved to Liberty. It was just a 20x60 little store.
Oh my gosh. That's not much bigger than our booth at NWTF.
No, yeah. I
mean, that's pretty much what it
actually
was.
I think that's the booth.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's like not a very big store. It's in a strip mall. If you're in Liberty, it's next to where Crowley's and Conrad's is, the restaurant. Conrad's is good. He had a 90-day lease, did not plan on staying there very long. Smithville Lake, I think it was built in 75 or 76. So in 1980, Smithville Lake was like hopping. It was doing really, really good. So timing's everything. I'd always say my dad's very lucky. And so in 1980, like, Smithville Lake was hot, and the first day he opened up, he had people waiting outside to get in. So he never left.
And we're still there. We're still there. But yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, Smithville at the time, I talk about Greg, who works in our call center, or Steve, or you know, guys that knew Smithville when it first started, and it was hopping, and it had giant bass. I even think they were talking about doing a bass tournament there at one point. Obviously, it's different now. We had the flood. We had a big kill off. I don't know, in the 90s somewhere. I'm trying to remember the history, but yeah.
Yeah, I want to say it was 92. About,
yeah,
so. Which I was only three, but that's what I feel like that's what I was told. 92.
Like, you know, Liberty's, you're 10-15 minutes from putting your boat in at that lake at the time, which is a hot bed for fishing at that time. Yeah, it was like a perfect thing. It all came together.
Yeah, and I mean, there's really no retail to speak of. So I mean, I remember growing up, I think it was year 2000. Cabela's came to the Kansas Speedway.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of the first other retailer, other than like a Dick's Sporting Goods,
right,
that actually carried hunting and fishing stuff.
Which Liberty at that time in 1980, we're talking nothing. It does not look like Liberty now.
One exit town, right?
Yeah. It was a one exit town. The only So when I remember growing up, the only restaurant we had was, there was a Country Kitchen, which I don't even know if those are still around today. I haven't seen one. So no, there's
I haven't seen one.
A Country Kitchen, and then there was a place called Legends that was just like a sports bar that I felt like we ate at all the time.
Right. It was the only two places to go. That's
all I remember.
Maybe a fast food restaurant or
something. Yeah, there was, I mean, there was a McDonald's. I mean, there was a McDonald's.
Sure.
And maybe.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely changed a ton.
Yes.
So, after that first spot, how many more stores or spots did you guys have before you went to the what we call the old store? Was there another after that 90-day lease? Did he stay there? Or did
he did stay there. I forget how long he stayed there, but he did stay there maybe for a year or so. We'd have to ask him to give me like the exact timeline, but I feel like it was a year or so. And then he went to in relationship to the old building, there we had rented a bunch of buildings, and the climate control building, that was actually, I believe that was one of his stores. And there was another one on 291 before that one. So there was one, so there's two others besides that little 20 by 60.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then we got to the old store.
All around that 291, like all, corner.
All right there. All within a mile of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what we consider the old store, which is not there now. You try to envision it, but basically it's like the Hy-Vee gas station. I'm trying to think.
It's actually where Dick's is, pretty much, sort of. Okay. Yeah, because
it's hard to envision it now.
It is, because they did a lot of land development. Uh-huh. But we, for those of you that don't know, we actually got kicked out of our building. There was eminent domain. The government, Liberty, City of Liberty, told us we had to get out.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah. Lots of lawyers involved, obviously, after that point. But we did get kicked out of that location. And literally, they put a Dick's store right where we were, which was very nice of them.
Yeah, it's like.
But honestly, I mean, looking back.
Would you say it all worked out?
100%. It really pushed us to grow. We had bought a piece of land and developed it. We sold off pieces of the lots after we developed it. Mm-hmm. To where, like, there's the hotel and whatever, urgent care and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And then we were able to incorporate my sister's family. Her mother-in-law and her husband have a gun shop. So allowed us to bring in the gun side of things.
It's a great spot, too. Like, now, you know, you look at it now, like you talked about, you know, nudging you to, like, hey, let's make something happen. And you're right off the highway. Now everybody sees Roger Sporting Goods. I mean, people come into the store now and they're like, oh, my gosh, I had to pick the exit because I shop with you online. And then there it is on 35. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a fabulous location. I mean, great visibility from the highway.
Yeah.
No, it pushed us to grow. I mean, it was like pushing us off a cliff.
Right.
I do remember, though. So the old building, which we have on our, I think we have a picture of it on the website. Maybe Hayden will throw it up after when we put this on. But anyways, the it was 18,000 square feet, which the store we're in now is 60,000 square feet. So it was 18,000 square feet, and we had about 60 semi-trailers parked just around the building and out back, kind of all over the parking lot, just full of stuff. And I'll get back to that in a second.
Is that your warehouse?
That was our warehouse. And I'll tell you about that in a second. But so we moved from that 18,000 square feet plus those trailers. Plus we had like the old climate control building. There were some auto shops and we had like gotten all of that. And so it wasn't that much square footage, but we stacked stuff like as high as we could. Like I remember we'd get a closeout of like decoys, or I remember one time we bought like I want to say it was like 2,000 express blinds from Final Approach.
Oh my god.
When Colpin owned it, and we literally stacked them probably like 20 to 24 foot high in these just massive stacks. And that's how we did decoys too. We'd have to like throw them to each other on ladders and like put them up.
I was gonna say there's a lot of ladder usage at the old store.
and a lot of real life Tetris. So we just had to do what we did. Like when we'd get in ammo, so we didn't have a dock. We did eventually have a forklift, which my dad always said that was his Corvette. He didn't get a Corvette because he got a forklift. And every time, every time he's been going to get a Corvette, he gets another forklift. So
yep. He's still doing it.
So like when we get in ammo, we didn't really have like a good way to like store. We didn't have any pallet racking like we have now. So we most of the time we unload it by hand. Or if we get like Summit tree stands, they would send us a truckload of, you know, Vipers was what we sold the most of. And that was our biggest, probably biggest stand company for a while. And we just do it all by hand. We unloaded everything by hand.
Yeah.
All live unload.
Right. All live unload. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And, but anyways, so moving, we move from one location to the other. So we go from 18,000 square foot to 60,000 square foot. And I know what you're thinking. It sounds like, man, you have plenty of room. That's what my dad thought. So I was in charge of moving. I was 18. And me and my buddy, Joe, we did all of it pretty much. Like, for the most part, like we did the bulk of the move. And we had time to do it, so we weren't in a rush. Like we basically did it one summer. And we worked like, you know, 60, 70 hours and just truck after truck. And we put the pallet racking up. Truck?
Was it a box truck?
Box truck. Okay. Yep. So yeah, like 12 pallets at a time. At one point we did get a we did hire someone to start bringing trailers over.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, we're just bringing, you know, 12 pallets at a time. It sounded like it wouldn't take that long. It took us, you know, 3 months, which is fine. Like I said, that wasn't a big deal. But I'm, you know, so we have about a third warehouse, roughly, let's say, and then two thirds retail space is how it was set up. No big deal. Like, should be fine. And so we're setting everything up, like putting the pallet racking in the back. I'm like, man, we're filling this up pretty quick, Dad. And I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. He's talking about putting up the wall needs to be further. Like, we only need half retail space. And so that's where I came up with the idea. I was like, well, you know what? Why don't we put some pallet racking on the retail floor? Yep. And I'm like, we can stack decoys higher. We can stack tree stands higher, whatever, right? So we really did that out of necessity for space.
Yeah.
And I just thought it would look cool. Yeah. And now it seems like that's something that people are like really like to see. They like to see, you know, right. The Sam's Club of, you know, decoys. We have decoys stacked up high.
Yeah. Yeah. You can come in and get as many decoys as your heart desires. So a couple, I got to bring up a couple things. So we're going to go fact or fiction on things that I've heard. So one I know for sure is true, but... one is you got left when you were young at the store, at the old store.
Fact.
Which is hilarious. Fact. So Stevie obviously is growing up at the old store. So, you know, that's just the place where he stayed. And I guess everybody closed and left you.
Yeah. I hung out with Mandy a lot. Mandy let me tag along with her a lot. So, you know, everybody thought I was with Mandy or, in my, you know, and I mean, Mandy's 18, so it's really not her responsibility, but, you know, so, I mean, she assumed I was with my parents, and I'm six at the time. So I think I'm in kindergarten and, I didn't know my phone number yet. So anyways, I'm at the old store. We had this little, like, I mean, jankety stairs that were built up to these like old offices. And, I mean, everything's out of like plywood and stuff. Like, I don't know who built this. I think it was built before we were there, but, definitely not up to code, by today's standards. And, anyways, I had this like little fort built up there, had like one of those little TVs that had the VCR connected to it.
Like in it on the bottom?
Like in it. Yeah. Like on the bottom. And I was watching The Great Mouse Detective, or 50 Goes West, one of those two, but I think it was The Great Mouse Detective.
Okay.
And, so, and I'm just watching it. I finish the movie and I walk out those steps and it's black. There's no lights on. and I hear crickets. Like I literally hear crickets cause we sold crickets at the time.
Oh,
cool. So like that's all I hear. Mm. And, but I, you know, I was like, how about this? And I walk down, can't find anybody. So I was old enough to know the only number I knew. I didn't know any phone numbers of, you know, obviously no one had cell phones then.
Yeah.
Didn't know anybody's number. So I called 911.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So the police show up and they're talking to me and they're like trying to like calm me down. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just hungry. Like I'm ready to eat. It's like, so I'm sure that made matters, you know, even better. But at least this was like early 90s. And I mean, parents probably would have gone to prison for this, like in today's standards. But yeah, it was, they were like giving me baseball cards, the police, and it was no big deal. And then, I was really hungry. It was only like 7 o'clock, but right. I mean,
that is,
we closed at 6 or something like that.
Stuff.
Yes. But yeah, but that is fact.
That the other one, I don't know if Steve told me, so who knows? But when you were moving between the old stores, was there a time where he was trying to move something from the old store to the new store with a forklift way back in the day?
Like drive the forklift?
He was driving the forklift from one store to the other.
Oh, we 100% did that. more than once.
Which makes sense now, because if that's Steve's Corvette, he's like, hey,
well,
this is my vehicle.
I mean, you couldn't put it on the truck, or we like, you know, just didn't have room for it. So yeah, we just drove it. He got pulled over. He actually got pulled over. Not every time, but one time he did get pulled over while driving the forklift.
That's good. It's just classic. Like, it's just envisioning, I'm moving my pallet of decoys up the road here.
Yeah.
I'm going to unload them. That's good stuff. The other thing that is wild is, you know, when you make that move to the store location now, 2008 had to be scary.
Oh, it was.
Time.
It was. It was. You talk
about taking a leap.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we were too far in to like really do anything different. And Shannon
committed.
We were already committed. We like when the housing crash happened and everything with the banks, like we were like halfway through building the story.
Oh my gosh.
So, and I mean, I'm still pretty young at the time, so it was way more stressful for Shannon, Mandy, and my dad.
Yeah.
Because I was in high school, or I was just graduating high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, so we were already, building it. I think it completed in 2008.
Yeah.
So, but basically like, I think like all our construction loans got like cut in half.
Oh my
gosh. So then we had to come out of pocket for more.
Right.
Yeah, it was definitely scary times for, sure, you know, just having enough cash to do everything, because right, obviously it takes a lot of inventory too.
Sure. Yeah, that's wild to try to make that big move going on then. Yeah, so it's wild, like, just to relive, you know, through you guys, because I didn't get to see as much of it, and just kind of hear and, you know, where stuff started and kind of where we're at now, which we've made a lot of changes in the past. I mean, I've been there 11 years now, but man, over the past decade, the changes we've made.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the warehouse that used to be in the caves, we've moved a couple times.
Oh, I haven't told you about us picking orders at the old store yet. I was going to tell you about that
yes,
really quick.
Yeah, do that.
So we had trailers, right? So we had trailers parked all around. And so what we would do, so this is, we were mainly selling on eBay a lot at the beginning, and then our website. So we would sell tree stands, decoys mainly, like, what, I mean, a lot of what we do today.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I don't think as much ammo back then, but it probably was. But, you know, if someone would order something, we would like print all the orders out. So we'd have like a stack of orders. So each piece of paper would be one order. And we try to like flip through them and organize them and say like, these are kind of all the same things together. And then we'd like handwrite a list. And then we had no inventory system. So we would handwrite a list on notepad like this.
Uh-huh.
And then we would just have to know where everything was.
Yeah.
So we'd go open a trailer, you know, here's, oh no, those are feeders. I need active snows or whatever. and then go to the, you know, and just build pallets. And whether it was snowing, we were outside with pallets and with a forklift, Steve's Corvette,
pulling it out of the trailers.
Pulling out of the trailers. That's how we picked orders. So I remember it being, Mandy talks about this a lot, and when we have to handwrite the UPS labels.
Mm-hmm. How does that work?
I
there's no barcode on it? Like, what?
No, there's a barcode. Like, okay. It's kind of like if you go to, UPS store today, like if you're just gonna do it yourself, you like hand fill out the thing and there's already like a pre like barcode on it.
Pre-made UPS labels or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So it has the it already has the tracking information on it. You just fill out like, you know, who it's going to and who it's from, kind of thing.
Oh my gosh.
So that's what we had to do. And I remember it being such a big deal when we hit 100 orders in a day. So it was such a big deal. There's a guy named that worked for us, Spencer, and he was like going crazy. So I remember Mandy telling that story.
100 orders.
Yep, in a day.
I think 100 orders just went out.
Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Probably while we've been on here. Yeah.
Yeah. If we only did 100 orders now a day, there's something broken. That's wild. And then you because we didn't have the warehouse yet either. We still had our call center and stuff at the new store.
Correct.
Even up until then, 2008, 2009, 2010.
Yeah. So we moved in. So I mean, honestly, the call center was kind of new. Like before that, we just people pick up the phone and talk to you. Like whatever.
You didn't have a section of people.
Nope.
It was just you would call the store and whoever answered.
We'd go try to figure it out. Yeah. It wasn't very organized. We're growing.
Yeah.
But so when we moved in the store, we started having like a call center.
Uh-huh.
I guess you call two people that sit back and answer questions.
Right.
Probably like two or three of them.
Yeah.
Is all we had at the news store. And so remember my dad thinking we don't have enough space or we have too much space. I think it was probably by 2010. We got more warehouse space. Initially we got 80,000 square foot in the caves, and then we got another 60,000 square foot, which sounds like a lot, but the caves that we were in were not great. Now there are different levels of cave warehousing.
Yeah.
The 80,000 square foot we had was terrible. It was probably like the first one they did, like as a test. Like, can we make a warehouse
and
out of this?
Nothing's even. There's short ceilings. There's pillars in the middle.
Well, yeah. It was not flat.
I remember driving a forklift on there.
Yeah, we got them stuck. We got a forklift stuck because it wasn't flat. The 80,000 square foot was rougher. The 60,000 square foot was better.
Yeah,
but still not great.
Right.
And we did have bats. Not like a ton, but there was bats.
Some bats.
Like I said, so like the 80,000 square foot we couldn't put any pallet racking. It was just pallets. And, the 60,000 square foot, we did have pallet racking. This is when we're starting to like try to improve a lot of processes. We started having a WMS system. Mm-hmm. So we actually like had some directive picking a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, but the problem was you had these pillars that were 25 feet in diameter. So they would be just like in the middle of a pallet racking and just, it was very hard for us to use that space efficiently.
Yeah.
So we were there for, I think, 3 or 4 years though.
Yeah.
And then we moved to the warehouse before this one.
Before this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Which now we're basically by Kansas City Airport.
Yeah.
And we were only just a couple miles from here.
Right. The one before. From the one before.
Yep.
Yeah. And we still have, I know of at least one gentleman who was still on the, like at the old store for the call center, Greg.
Yep.
Yeah. So we got some people been around a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Especially, your missus.
Yeah. Sonia will be celebrating 25 years at Rogers Sporting Goods. So, long time.
Gee, that's
old store, new store.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, she went from the old store.
She's seen all the changes.
She has. She's been there for all of it.
And her favorite story since she's in clothing was which we don't have carpet now, but used to be a carpet area, I guess, where just clothing would be.
Yeah. Yep.
And we've obviously... went outside the carpet area. So we just take up the carpet. You don't need that anymore. But
She wanted to make sure that she wasn't limited to that space anymore. So like, it blurred the lines a lot more.
Yeah. Sonia is going to fight for her clothing, just so you all know. And shoot, we've taken down a wall in the store. since I've been there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And pushed back hunting. So,
yeah, hunting did grow.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it keeps on rocking. We've had a big year this last year. So, in stuff going on. Gosh, I have all sorts of stuff now, but I'm getting sidetracked.
We've talked about the old store a little bit, and you've talked about the trailers and stuff, but when people come by, and, you know, I was really big into fishing when I remember the old store. When people come by and say, I remember the old store, I mean, they were talking a lot about the lures and that stuff that we carried, and, like, it was everywhere. I mean, you look up, and there's always rods above your head.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's partially because that was the biggest part of our business, too. Yeah. So when my dad started, so he started in 1980, I don't think we carried any, and he can tell you the exact dates, but I don't think we had any hunting product till around, like, 92 or 93. So, like, the first 10 or 12 years, he was only selling fishing.
Yeah.
And he always used to say, I want to get hunting to be, like, at least 5% of our business was his goal. Which things have flipped a little bit since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, fishing had the whole footprint, of the store, really. Like, you had, like, I can still remember so clearly. I feel like we had the decoys in a weird spot though for a while, but we had like maybe 10 or 20% devoted to like clothing and hunting. And then the rest of it was fishing.
Oh, yeah. 10 to 20 clothing and hunting.
Yeah. 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 Clothing, hunting, you know, archery, all of that was probably about 20% of the space, which is what I would guess.
Yeah.
So,
oh my gosh. Boy, times have changed.
Yeah. Real counter and then the archery shop thing.
Yeah. Area. That was right up front.
Yeah. Yeah. When you walked in, the archery was on the left and then the
archery right up front.
Yeah. The real counter and the registers were to the right. So I was helping.
And a big giant moose right over your head.
Yeah.
When you walked in.
Which was funny. I don't know if you realize this, but when we had that moose, and I think that was Dr. Kernos. I think that's whose it was. And he took it back right when we moved to the new store, which, I mean, no big deal. Like, that was always the plan. Like, whenever he had space for it, he was going to go put it in a lodge or something.
Uh-huh.
I think it was his. And it might not have been. I might be totally wrong. But but right after he took it, somebody else had a moose that had no space for it. So then we got another moose at the new store.
Oh, so that's a different moose.
It is a different moose.
Is that the moose? Do we still have that by the front door?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That and if you're...
So that's funny.
My I always think it's funny. Shannon, decided where to put all the deer. She put my deer next to a moose. I think to like make it look smaller.
Yeah, right.
I don't know that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna put Stevie's right here,
right next to the moose.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Perfect.
I would say so. All right, we're in. We've been in the warehouse now. This one for four years.
2019. Oh. We moved in May of 2019.
Oh, that was
we're at our 4 year cap.
Yeah. So that is the joke. We move every 4 years. Been the trend. But if that happens again, Mandy and my dad are both retiring. Which my dad can retire whenever he wants, but Mandy is also retiring too whenever we move again.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if anybody doesn't know, or if you do know Steve, he comes here every day to work. He is still rocking. Like,
I'll call him on the weekends, and that's where he's doing.
Oh, yeah. He will email me on the weekends. That's, yeah.
He takes off a month in June to go fishing.
Oh, he's going to get his fishing time in.
Yeah.
For sure.
But other than that, yeah, he's here pretty much all the time.
Everybody's still going at it. That's what I wanted to bring. You were talking about the containers. So one of the big things a lot of people know about Rogers is the truckload sale. So we kind of know what it is now. Now it's kind of incorporated truckload sale, and then we have our waterfowl weekend, and they're very close to each other. And so we have a big event. We also have the truckload sale. Obviously, it was just the truckload sale.
Yep.
At the beginning, there was no waterfowl weekend, but.
And that started, I think it came because we had like semi trailers just parked.
And so we're like, hey, we're going to have a truckload sale.
Yeah. And we'd bring in, I think the Well, the first one that really kicked it off was we gave away a dozen decoys with a case of ammo. We gave away, it was like a bond or whatever, you know, inexpensive Mallard, but that's what we sold. Like, right. I mean, you're talking about in whatever year that would have been.
Yeah.
Let's just say like 97, 98, whatever it was.
Before GHG.
Before Green Egg Gear. So before that, because we were really just selling G&H, Flambeau. Flambeau was like the ticket. Like, I mean, Flambeau was huge. At this time, and there was a few other companies like I think Tangle Free was kind of around, but there was Bond decoys that we would sell. That was like our price point decoy. That was like a hot buy Mallard today, or like essential Mallards. Like that was the decoy that we were giving away, and we'd sell them for $25 or something a dozen.
Yeah,
and that's what we gave away, and we sold like I forget what it was. I don't know if it was like 1,000 cases of ammo, but it was a huge number for us. And it maybe wasn't that many, but I remember we had this guy named Fred. He had a dolly of ammo. He was just running back and forth all day, dollies of ammo all day long.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty crazy. And it took us a long time to beat that revenue day for like, I think it was new store.
Yeah,
because it was just bananas. They were like, "Oh, they're giving away decoys."
Yeah, I bet it was just crazy.
You guys put that in the paper?
Yes, we probably the only advertising we did was a who knows how big a little spot in the Kansas City Star.
Yeah,
that was maybe radio too on something like that. I don't know. I mean, so my dad and my sister Shannon, they used to be on the radio all the time too. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what station it was. But they were on the radio all the time, too. So I don't know if they, like, talked about it there or what they did. But, yeah, that maybe was the only other thing.
Yeah. And now the truckload sale, now it's, you know, we got the paper, and then we do the waterfowl weekend. And then that was a big deal, starting a waterfowl event, you know, corresponding with it. So
yeah.
The first waterfowl weekend was at the new store, though. That's when we had that first event.
Yeah, I don't think it was. Right. So we actually.
With like the calling and.
I think it wasn't the first year. So it would have been probably the second or third year we were at the store.
Yeah.
So something like that.
How did that come about? Just deciding to do. It was really more a calling competition.
Yeah. Thing. I don't know. I don't know how if it really got started. I don't know if we had people coming to us. I do know that there was like talks of the sanctioned one like needing a new home, but we didn't get it at that time. We didn't get the sanctioned calling events.
Right.
I don't know if that was kind of the conversations that, well,
yeah,
if you want the sanctioned events, like you need to like show that you can like do a contest.
Sure.
So maybe that was what started it all. But We also were just trying to make it a bigger event.
Sure.
I mean, you know.
Well, it's grown every year, and now everybody looks forward to that weekend.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's a, which, for anybody listening, will be, again, the first weekend in August. It'll always be the first weekend in August.
Yep.
And we'll do it every year. So we'll have another event this year.
How are you going to make it bigger this year, Chandler?
Yeah, Chandler.
To make it bigger, I mean, we do better deals.
You can have like Blue Angel flyover and parachute team and
all sorts of. All good ideas. We got to get through this Iowa Deer Classic and then we can.
Okay, then you'll switch gears.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there will be some good deals. I can tell you that already because.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, those of you who don't know what, I mean, things that we deal with, you know, container pricing was a huge deal 2 years ago, and still there was a ripple effect this last year, but container pricing coming down is helping decoys especially. So there will be some good deals. There are some new products coming, and we have more exclusives than ever. So it'll be a good event.
Yeah, it definitely. Yeah, if you talk about different milestones in, you know, getting your first store in 2008, getting the new store, and then your warehouse and doing online, and you know, 2020 to you know, we're kind of out of it now. You're talking about the pricing coming down, and you know, that was a weird one, I'm sure, for the family. like just figuring out that for the COVID years, you know, those couple years, we're talking about it in the past tense now.
But yeah. Yeah. It's like BC.
It's a BC. Yeah.
Well, it was, so what happened right before COVID, and this is kind of where going back to me saying my dad's lucky. We're just very, you know, very blessed the way things have worked out.
Yeah.
So in 2019, we moved warehouses. We switched our basically everything. We had a new ERP system. We had a new website. We had a new point of sale system. Jeez. And we had a new WMS. So, and in the warehouse, you know, before the way we would pick, it was just basically rows of pallet racking.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have, we did have some, whatever you call it, like wave picking where you like kind of zigzag, like mm-hmm. picking with a purpose.
Yeah.
Instead of just randomly doing it. So we did have some of that before, but when we moved in here, we also had a pick module. So, which is kind of a condensed area. I mean, if you see them when they're doing their videos where there's like conveyors, that's the pick module. So it's kind of like a denser area of a picking area.
Yeah.
So all that happened in 2019. So which was a lot. It was a lot. And we moved. So like just all of that big undertaking. That was the best timing though, because it set us up for the pandemic. So it gave us more space. All of our processes were better, so we could, you know, ride the wave as things went up.
Yeah.
But it was scary at first, because in 2020, very conservative, you know, not knowing what's going to happen.
Right.
And I remember us, I don't think we really backed off our ordering, but we just weren't as aggressive as we normally are, especially me and my dad.
Well, and trying to get the orders to us. I mean, shipping was kind of...
So 2020 was okay. There was definitely... It was uncertain, but we really didn't have a huge shortage of product in 2020. 2021 was like no inventory. We had, like, the warehouse was half empty all year long.
Yeah.
Which is not normal for us.
So we had enough from the year. I mean, we got through it, and, you know, we always find a way to get through it. And having that new online and the way everything, because online just boomed, right? Everybody, that's how they were shopping.
I mean, we closed down the store
now.
So. Yeah. I mean, we closed down the store for like a month.
Yeah.
Or something, didn't we?
Yeah. We would do, curbside.
Curbside. Yep.
So,
which, I mean,
that's weird times, man.
It was weird. It seems
from home for a little bit.
Short lived, short enough. Well, not short enough maybe, but, so, and online now is doing great. Which we've talked about it a little bit on some previous podcasts, and obviously we're still expanding that with the new auto store now. That, you know, if you haven't listened to us before, but, you know, we've got some, it's kind of wild. We've kind of done some videos on it, I think, that are posted, but, you know.
Yeah, got the robots.
The little robots moving around, and it really, for anybody listening, it just makes us more efficient, you know.
It gives us.
We haven't had to lay anybody off. We weren't getting rid of any employees. It just helps us get product to you faster. We're able to pull it more efficiently, get it on the truck quicker, you know, so we can ship it out faster.
And it gave us more space. It kept us from moving.
Yeah,
so
we didn't hold more stuff.
That was the goal. That was actually 100% was the deciding factor. Yeah. I mean, it was like adding another 60,000 square foot, because it doesn't have any space, so there's no, like, as far as
wasted space.
Yeah. Excuse me. So there's no aisles or anything. So all the bins are stacked on top of each other. It's as tight as it can be. So it cannot use the space any better.
Yeah.
And it literally holds four times the amount of product in the same space as it would have. So it was like adding 60,000 square feet. The other thing that it does is it helps us when we're the busiest.
Yeah.
So in the pick mod, which is awesome. I mean, that's like a huge step up for us, when we move in here in 2019. But like, say, you know, this particular, picking location only holds like five of this jacket. Well, if we sell 10, then those five get picked, and then we have to go pick another five, or we have to restock that bin location. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that can delay orders. Because we have to wait for someone to restock it. And it's not just that one jacket. It's that jacket. It's those rigs. It's that call, yeah. You know, times. And we're doing all of that restocking and while we're busy. And it sometimes puts orders further behind than we want it to be. We want to be first in, first out, and get to you as quick as possible. So by this new system with the robots and auto store, we put all of it in there. So there's no restocking when we're busy, which is a huge deal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, it's cool, too, because, like, the items that are, you know, hot items. So it'll have those more ready and quick. Yeah,
they float to the top.
Pick. Yeah, they float to the top.
Dynamic slotting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to watch. So,
But yeah, before that, I mean, he's talked about the last warehouse, but we drove golf carts from one end of the building to the
other. Oh, we still do. But that's all we did before.
That's all we did.
Yeah. I mean, it was a mess how we did it before. But it's just what we had to do to get where we're at today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember doing that.
Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, it was crazy because before, you know, the big sale in 2018 with Nitro Steel.
I remember. Yep.
So
all hands on deck.
Yeah. So we had Nitro Steel, Remington Nitro Steel, $170 a case. And they did a $100 rebate, and we had all the inventory like in the U.S. Like we sold 17,000 cases in like 2 days. It broke the website. We couldn't ship out anything but Nitro Steel for like the next 4 or 5 weeks.
That's so crazy.
Yep.
It was bananas.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So where we're at now, what's the, I don't know, do you have a, I mean, I'm sure, right, things evolve, things change, you know, the direction, like, do you have anything that you're envisioning down the road or, you know, what's the next step in evolving in this hunting craziness that we're in here, and or, you know, what are you wanting to see? Or
I mean, you know, we always want to try to get into different categories. I mean, we talk about all the time, like, we like to do it all. Some of us, like, I don't elk hunt. I'd love to get into elk hunting. It's hard with 3 kids right now. But like, you know, we'd like to get more into elk hunting, or and so because we have people that are passionate about that here, and fly fishing. Like to fly fish. I don't do it enough, but like that's something like we want to put a bigger focus on.
Yeah.
But all that being said, I definitely don't want to lose sight of what we're good at. And we're definitely good at, waterfowl. So we're not changing that, trying to figure out how to, you know, keep the freshest assortment, make sure we have all the cool stuff, which is kind of hard to vet out. Yeah. Like quick koi's was something cool. I thought we added this year. I was really impressed. It was just a very unique product, and so it was a really easy one to get behind.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just, yeah, it's really striving to make sure we have,
the best product.
With, okay, what products, what are people wanting right now? Make sure we have it available.
And trying to figure out how we can get the best deal on it. So, I mean, that's always yes. a constant thing me and my dad are working on, trying to figure out, you know, how we can do it a little bit better, how we can buy it a little bit better, and just, you know, pass on those savings.
Sure.
So we'll always keep doing that.
Yeah.
Beating up vendors.
Yeah.
They're used to it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, at this point, like Rogers is I mean, you can see it physically at the store. So, you know, the pallet racking that, you know, Stevie talked about, you know, putting it on the sales floor, but you know, that's a staple of what you can see when you come to the store and someone says, hey, I want 20 dozen of this decoy, and we probably get it for you. If not, we'll grab it from the warehouse here. But, you know, typically you can come in, you can pull your trailer up, and we'll load you up with.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen guys go out with 30 dozen. It's no big deal.
Well, and I think
we have it in hand.
And I think because we're just crazy enough to do it, and because really when you think about it, we probably don't make enough money on decoys for the space it takes up, but you know we are going to do it anyways.
We're just doing it. Yeah,
we don't care. We just like selling them.
Yeah.
So, it takes up, they take up so much space in our warehouse. Like, I mean, we're 200,000 square foot warehouse, and decoys take up 50 to 60%, and they do not make up 50 to 60% of our sales.
No.
So, like that math doesn't shake out, and I get it. You know, if we had, if we were a corporate company and had the bean counters involved, they would say, yeah, this doesn't make sense.
Right.
But, you know, fortunately it's just us, and we can do silly stuff.
Well, it's like we got pallets of ammo, shotgun shells in the store, you know?
There's a lot of the big box retailers have, you know, a few boxes, right? Yeah. For the most part.
Yeah.
But we like selling things by the case.
Well, sure. And it's not unheard of. They'll come in with a trailer and we'll load up a pallet of Target ammo for a high school trap team or something right there at the store. You can come in, buy 120 cases, yep. You know, just kind of how we've evolved, and the customers love it, and we have enough for everybody to get, you know, which is, it's super cool to see that.
And I think going back to, you know, saying the things that I see in the future, I mean, we're going to keep trying to make improvements on the website. I spend a ton of time with developers and trying to figure out, you know, how to make it better, how to make things easier for our customers. We have all kinds of ideas. Some of them are realistic, some of them aren't.
Sure.
But we'll keep trying, and always make that experience better, because we know we only have one retail store. One of the reasons why we're doing this, and we're doing, you know, all the videos and things like that, is we want to try to give you as much of a hands-on approach without getting your hands on it, right?
Right.
And, you know, we try things that we've changed. We used to charge shipping for, you know, exchanging waiters. We don't do that anymore because we know that you haven't got a chance to try them on. So buy them, try them on. If they don't fit, send them back. We'll send you another pair. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. gosh. It's just, I think I asked Steve too, you know, the same thing. But, you know, if you look back when you can really vividly remember, you know, getting into the business, and, you know, maybe not as a 4 or 5 year old, but when you start realizing, hey, this is what I want to do, or I'm going to help out. And, you know, it's like, it's wild to think about where you've come. You know, if we go way back and Jim's just making lures as a hobby, you know, and now we've moved past just lures and we're, you know, clothing and decoys and shotgun shells, and it's just wild, you know.
Well,
the things your family's been through and like where they're at now.
Well, I can tell you, my dad never expected to have robots. I can tell you that. So that's still crazy to think. I mean, even if you'd asked me that probably about 2 years ago, I would have thought it was like, yeah. I mean, maybe, but not like anytime soon.
But yeah. I think that's the evolving that, you know, you look at. And I think you're, at least from my side, you know, being around you long enough now that, you know, you're always willing to evolve and see what, hey, we need to get this. We need to do an auto store. We need you know, whatever.
Well, and that, I mean, that comes
willingness to always do something to try to push it forward.
I mean, and that comes from my dad. I mean, we one thing, I don't know if it's necessarily like a motto or saying he says, but it's, you know, there's always a better way to do it.
Yeah.
There's always a better way.
Sure.
There's always a better way.
Yeah.
We always have room to ship faster, to make better assortments, better purchases. So we're going to keep doing that.
I just feel like you're always, hey, we'll try it. If it doesn't work, then we'll try a different way. And then we're going to figure out the best way to do it, you know, for what works for us. So,
yeah, for sure.
It's awesome.
Not being scared to make a decision.
No,
the big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't believe we were going to get robots until about the day they, like, started stacking stuff where we're supposed to be.
Like, it's just such a crazy thing. They're taking down the pallet racking.
Yeah, like, oh, there's nothing here, and we're putting robots here.
Yeah.
Like, it is actually happening.
Well, and it was crazy how they got here, because they got shipped from Germany in containers and like these huge crates.
Yeah.
It was just kind of weird how it all showed up. But
sure.
They made it all work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Fun stuff.
Yep. Yeah, so let's see. I want to make sure I hit my notes on telling anybody anything. Chandler, we talked about the fishing event coming up April 6th.
Yep.
Obviously, we'll just be getting back from the Iowa show. So if you saw us up there, awesome. And we'll tell you how that went. So
And if there's we're not going to go travel real far, but if there's any shows that you think we should go to, definitely reach out and let us know.
Yeah, for sure. There's shows all over, so you kind of have to.
Pat's been making a joke all day about how we're just on a tour.
We're going to become, we're going to have a team of just show travelers, we'll hit up all these up. We'll bring a Rogers Sporting Goods setup to you. We're doing more now than we have, so we're just, we're trying it, just like we talked about. So
we used to do it all the time, though.
Yeah,
it was a big deal back in the day. But
oh yeah, you guys used to do
the sports show.
Was it Bartle?
It was at Bartle Hall in Kansas City. And my dad did more than those, but that one was a big one. Sure. I remember we used to have like 100 feet. I think is what we got up to.
Wow.
And we'd even bring gun safes to it, and. Which were really fun to load out of the loading dock at Bartle Hall, I can tell you.
Oh, my gosh.
I can believe that. I mean, Pat had to load a gun safe at NWTF, and he had to drive, pallet jacket down the road.
Oh, and you guys took a little one. You guys took a little one. I took big Browning safes that were, 1,500 pounds and 2,000 pounds. So, it was a lot worse. Why we did all that, I don't know.
If you're looking for a safe, obviously that's something you don't see on the website, but if you're...
We have them up there now.
Yeah. But we've got them on. We have a lot of safes to choose from.
And we do have.
At the store.
We do have way more in store. And kind of, there's a couple reasons for that. A lot of times there's just a lot of we get two safes in and it's just not worth skewing up.
Right.
So we keep kind of our core safes on the website.
Yeah.
But yeah, we probably have at least twice as many in store. And that was actually my first category that I bought for those that you
safes.
Don't know. Yeah, it was gun safes. It was kind of. Yep, that was the first thing.
Your hands in that.
I do.
If nobody doesn't know, which Stevie holds a lot of hats, so overseeing a lot of basically everything that's bought for the store and warehouse,
except ammo. My dad. Yes. I don't approve my dad's purchases.
You don't have to worry about that.
No, but everything else,
he's he's looking at a lot of that, a lot of the marketing stuff with Chandler, and new products coming out, so very busy days checking out what's next to bring to the store. So, the next hot item. But yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, I look back, Chandler, you were a couple years before me, I think now. But
one year before
you? Yeah, I was 2012.
I was 11. 2011.
2011. So
store was 08. So we were.
I think the one thing that I love, if I was given a shout out, one, just having the opportunity to work here, but obviously we've grown, but we still hold that core family, we all love the outdoors, we have a passion, pretty much everybody at the store, when you come in, we live it too. And the family still lives it to this day. They're all still out there enjoying the outdoors and hunting, fishing. And
we don't do it enough, so, but we do do it.
Yeah, we wish we had more time, right? We all want more time to do that. So, but that's what I love. It's still a family. It's not there's not that corporate feeling, Even as we grow, we still keep those values, and what made Rogers what it is today. And I think everybody can see that when they come in. And we love it. And obviously, we wouldn't be here where we are without you all listening and watching, supporting us. So can't thank you enough for that,
Oh, really appreciate
all the way
it.
Back to 1980.
Sure. We're not here without all that support over the years. So,
it's been
awesome.
Been super awesome. So, yeah. Good stuff, Chandler.
Oh, yeah.
Another week, our 100th episode, which is wild now looking back on. So maybe we'll get you on for the 101st, Josh. He's still over there.
Are we like, are we giving anything away or anything?
We can do that. So,
might as well.
We do have to do a giveaway. So how about this? Can we at least throw in a keyword on this one, Chandler?
Yeah, we can do whatever you want.
Okay, so let's, what do I got to give
this
away?
This is like a little nugget.
Yep, it's a little nugget. See, Stevie, you know. We have the one deal we talked about from the call. The you want to do the roughneck?
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Okay. All right. So hopefully, see, if you listen all the way to the end here, you're about to get a key word because Hayden's going to give you – can we still do the extra 100 entries?
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
What's the key word?
So, Jim. Big Jim.
Big Jim.
Big Jim.
Jim. And we'll do that all together. You don't have to worry about spacing or anything like that. Do you, Hayden?
No, just okay, one word.
So Big Jim, all one word. BIGJIM. That's your keyword. That'll get you an extra 100 free entries into the giveaway. And we'll give away a Lucky Duck Roughneck e-call. Which we did a video on. Is that up, Hayden? People can see what that call's about. Okay, perfect. So we did kind of a review on it. This thing is awesome.
Like $550 call, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is crazy. Yep. It's got already like 150, I think it was 150 preloaded sounds. You can hold up to 2,000 sounds. It's got a long remote range, big giant screen. The thing's super awesome. So you can do any type of predator hunting. You probably use it for snow goose if you want to tilt it up towards the sky. So,
yeah,
let's give one of those away.
Sounds
good.
Let's
do that. Big Jim is the keyword. That'll get you an extra 100 free entries. Will there be a link? That'll be on our socials for people to go to, Hayden.
Yeah, it'll be on the socials and below this podcast on YouTube and wherever you're listening to it. It'll be on there as well.
And thanks to Lucky Duck for giving it to us to give away.
Awesome. Yeah.
So Lucky Duck's great partner. And so really appreciate it.
Shout out to Ricky.
Yep. We like thanks, Ricky.
Yes.
Ricky. And Tim.
And Tim. Oh, yeah.
Because it's really Tim's money, but thank you, Ricky.
That's right. Yeah. We'll give you props too, Ricky. All right. Let's do that. Roughneck. That's how we'll end it. So, and that's why you listen to this podcast, because you never know when we're going to give stuff away. So. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow all of our social media pages, share it with everybody, and enjoy the outdoors. Be safe out there. And until next time, peace. I think it's time for me.